Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Yeah, here we go. Shout out to the Facebook group. Hey, thank you so much. We got a good show line to say. We got the concert coming at y'all today. Some folks say, good, I get to chime in, get some knowledge. I get to share my opinion, get to share my thoughts. Some other folks probably shaking it up in their boots like, well, damn, he's still here. I'm still here, and we're still here. So since we're all here, we're just going to go ahead and do it like we do every Saturday. This is not your grandfather's radio show, first off. You're going to hear some folks that may call up, and they may have some colorful metaphors, so to speak, describing situations they lived through. Don't criticize how they speak. Learn from what they've been through. This is not a black show, a white show, a pro-police show, an anti-police show, pro-black, anti-black, Republican, Democrat. Don't bring your politics in here, first off, because I light you up. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. We're not doing that here. Here, everybody is equal. The police chief, the mayor, if 45 himself calls in here, guess what? He's equal to the lowest in here. The lowest is the highest, because I found that most of the time we're going through these struggles and we're ignorant because we tend to put the lowest in the back of the room when they've lived through the very things we're sitting up there with degrees and professional titles trying to discuss, like we know what's going on. If we knew what was going on, then the problem wouldn't be what they call perpetual. So in here, it's all real. It's all good. 646-716-4621. You can call in at any time. We're going to get you on. And like I said, now when you call up here, you're in the barbershop. You know, if y'all hear me say good morning or something like that off key, I'm speaking to James Hill and Titus White, the people on my Facebook that follow me. And it's important to me that I give them props. I don't worry about etiquette. That's not good radio etiquette. Well, guess what? I'm paying for it. I'm not trying to impress nobody. I'm just trying to be real. Because these people were with me before I knew about a Blog Talk Radio. These people stood in my corner. They're probably one of the reasons, one of the few reasons that I still even have a job and I'm able to do what I do, because they support me. My brother Pierre Starr, my agent, he's watching, keeps me up the beat, up to the minute, keeps me tuned, helps me with my optics. He's helping me step up the show. So as you guys are seeing all these changes and these things that are coming about, we got a new website coming up that's going to blow y'all out the water at stanmason.com. It's going to blow you out the water. That's Pierre's idea. You know, this brother keeps me focused. And this is, you know, for the most part, a two-man operation. It's me and Pierre. So, that, you know, I don't have corporate sponsors. And right now, you know, we're getting down to it. And a lot of people say, you know, well, you know, if this person wanted to sponsor, would you do this, would you do that? That's Pierre's job. He'll tell me yes or no. But for me, you guys know me. You know, I don't know whose ass I'm going to have to get up in. So I don't want to hear later on in the contract, well, you know, you hurt their feelings over such and such, you know. When we get to the problem, let's just go on and get to it. And like I said, this is not your grandfather's radio show. This is real. And real recognizes real. And speaking of real recognizing real, I had what I'm going to call my opportunity of a lifetime. I've had a lot of good things happen to me in my life. I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of things. I've met a lot of good people. But I had a chance this week to meet this brother, and you guys know me, I bring up problems. They say, well, you're hard on police, you're hard on churches, you're hard on politicians, you're hard on black people, white people. You know what? Life is hard, and we're dealing with hard problems, so we might as well get on down to it. And so I found that usually when you get to the battle, you don't have as many warriors as you had cheerleaders. See, when you take the field, you look around, and you're like, well, it's me and a few. So I ran into one of the few, Mr. Darrell Wayne Thomas Jr., right down here in Waco. And you guys, I know you're listening all over the world, you're listening all over the country. This show is important because this brother's going to tell you what to do. Take what he's giving you, implement it into your communities. You know, we just saw in East Pittsburgh where a young brother was gunned down from behind by a police officer, we'll say. And we keep scratching our heads saying why. Now, the police officer was, in my opinion, from what I see, he was wrong. But then I got to go back to page one. See, I'm not going to relieve us of responsibility in the calamity. If you weren't where you shouldn't have been, with some folks you shouldn't have been with, then maybe the situation would be different. It's not to say that young brother is responsible for his death, because he's absolutely not responsible. You don't shoot people in the back unarmed running away. That's craziness, and I'm going to be on their ass watching this one, because we're not going to just brush this one under the rug. Like Walter Scott's deal. We stayed on top of Walter Scott. We got a conviction with Michael Slater, and we're going to stay up on top of this one. At least I know I am, and if I am, y'all are going to be. You know, so, you know, we got to always be cognizant of the fact that the penal system is a meat grinder. The legal system is a meat grinder. It's out there. Anything on that conveyor belt is going to get ground up. And folks are making money off the hamburgers. The penal system is like McDonald's. You get on that penal system, you get ground up. It's a little black wheat, white meat, tan meat. And at the other end, somebody cooks you up and serves you. And somebody's getting paid to sell you. And if you live long enough in prison, that's like slavery. So the trick is, what we got to do as people is stop being on the meat grinder. If they want to get you, and I know, you guys know, I know, the system is flawed. Inherently corrupt. It is. But the trick is, make them work to get you. Stop being with people you shouldn't be with. Stop being in places you shouldn't be at. Stop disrespecting your mother. You won't listen to her. You call her all kinds of B's and H's and everything else but a breakfast cereal. And then you're ready to fight somebody else because they said the same thing that you say. Your mother don't know them. They're a stranger. You hurt your mother when it comes from somebody who came from her. And that's real talk. But I'm going to get into my guest today. Mr. Darrell Wayne Thomas Jr. And he doesn't even know that I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And he probably going to be like, oh, man, he did do his homework. You know, he's from Fort Worth, Texas. He now lives in Waco, Texas. He went to high school at Oscar Dean Wyatt High School in Fort Worth. You know, his favorite movies are War Room and God's Not Dead. And some of the books that he's read are Every Man's Battle, Go for No, How to Win Friends, the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, The Silent Edge, God Chasers, and the Bible. And this brother, I'm going to tell you something. He's not one of these, and y'all know me well enough to know I will call out one of these plastic, I'm just here to be Christian because of Sunday type of people. I'll call them out in a heartbeat. And it's not to say that I'm perfect. I am who I am, and I put myself out here every week. I'm not above criticism. I know I've got flaws, and some of my flaws have flaws. But I'm good with that. But at least I'm out here fighting. And this brother, I run into a lot of people who say, well, brother, I want to help you in what you're doing. Well, no, why don't you do your thing? If I'm reaching you and you got all these means, then that means I'm doing okay. And at the end of this brother's presentation, whether you're in my hometown, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Holler, PA, or wherever you're at, this brother is going to give you the means by which you can call folks onto the carpet. And you'll be able to download these shows. You have everything there. You can go back and tell them, listen to this show and do what this brother's doing. But I don't know how to do it. Before Darrell leaves here, you're going to know how to reach Darrell. You're going to know how to do what Darrell's doing. You're going to know how to emulate what Darrell's doing. And if you're in Waco, hello, churches in Waco, black, white, indifferent. I don't care if you come from the First Church of Satan, because what this brother's doing is nothing but good. And if you're in Waco, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to call you out. Since I don't see you at the crime scene, then maybe we can get into prevention mode here locally. Every church ought to have one man within the sound of my voice. And you folks go to church. I know your preachers are not going to come on here like, and they may or may not share, but they'll listen to it later on if they're not listening now. But you know what? You play this for them. There ought to be one man in every church in Waco, and Lord knows there's enough of them, like most inner cities, that contacts Daryl and says, I want to volunteer. What can I do? What can I help you with? Because this brother is carrying a tremendous burden on his own. And when I went to speak to these young boys, I'm going to tell y'all, I've spoken to a lot of groups, a lot of people, some privileged people, little tie-in suit events, and a bunch of folks with money and privilege that are entertained by hearing the life experiences of the less fortunate than others. And they clap and applaud and all want to shake my hand when I leave. And that's all semantics. Honestly, you guys know me. That's bullshit. It's BS. What are you going to do after we all take off the suits? What do you do when the lights are out? The event is over. You want to just say you were there? Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, this brother today is doing something about it. So without further ado, Brother Daryl Wayne Thomas Jr., are you in the house?
Yes, sir. I am, Stan. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you get a little closer on that mic?
Absolutely, I can. Well, what about now? Is that good?
Yeah, you're good, man. Look here, brother. Look, first thing I want to start out with, tell everybody, I know I kind of hit some highlights, but tell everybody what you'd like them to know about you.
I'll tell you, first and foremost, I'm a problem solver. First and foremost, a problem solver. I believe that when it boils down to it, it's not enough for you just to see the problem and sit back and you can identify that it's a problem. Anybody can do that. But at one point in time, you got to stand up and you got to be a part of the solution. So I'm a firm believer that if I see a problem, then I need to take action, take responsibility, and being a part of bringing about a solution for that problem that I see. So I'm a problem solver. The other thing I would say is that I'm a husband of a beautiful wife. I've been married to her for over 17 years. We're high school sweethearts, and we have five beautiful children. So I'm a proud father as well, you know, of five beautiful kids. In terms of some of the things that I've done that you may not know is that I've actually served our country. You know, I've served our country as a United States Marine. Spent 5 years active duty, been to war twice. To Kuwait and to Iraq in 2003-2004, respectively. So that's pretty much some of the things that I've done. I think would be somewhat important for you to know, you know, in terms of where I stand. You know, problem solver, hands down.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna give you some props because 17 years of marriage, we got folks that don't do that much in jail. You know, so So you get big props there, and you got a whole football, or a whole starting five for the NBA. And you know what? And you're holding your own and taking on these other young men to mentor and tutor them. Dude, you got massive respect right now from me, massive respect. You know, compared to me, you're a young guy, but you're doing what you do. And I was thoroughly impressed, number one, when I went out there, the resources that you pulled together to do what you do. The diversity of the group of young men that I spoke to that you had there impressed me because you didn't go out there on a blacks-only agenda. You went out there on a real agenda. So what I want to do is what led you, how did you, what was that epiphany, that one moment where you went from just, I'm just, you know, Daryl kicking it to I need to do this. What was it that really put that on your heart to do what you do now?
If I can be real with you, Stan, for me, it really started back when I was a child, you know, going through the adversity. And I would tell my cousins growing up, I said, man, I want a wife and I want seven kids. And the reason why I kept saying that is because I know, right? the reason why I said that, though, is because of what I had went through. I had went through a lot of pain. You know, my dad, I love him, you know, and God rest his soul. But at the end of the day, like there was no solid connection for a good amount of time during my childhood between me and my dad. You know, he was there physically for the 2 weeks I spent with him, but then I would go 2 weeks spending with my mom, you know, because they were split. Like, they never got back together, so they were separated. But the 2 weeks I spent in my dad's house, like, there wasn't a strong connection. And I always yearned for that as a boy growing up. I yearned for that connection with my dad, and I never got it. And it wasn't until I was probably about 12, 13 years old when my dad and I, we started to connect. And then at that point, after we started to connect at the age of 14, my dad gets into this verbal and abuse where he and his girlfriend had got into it. And bottom line, she ended up killing him, right? So at the age of 14, my dad was, he bled to death. He bled to death when I was at the age of 14, and he died in my arms. It was at that point when I knew, man, I don't want for my future to repeat what I'm seeing right now. I don't want to go through the same thing that I'm experiencing right now, my dad going through, him dying at the age of 32. I don't want that. And on top of that, I don't want other boys to have to feel what I felt growing up, not having dad mm-hmm. there, you know, not being connected with some positive male role model. It's too many people, too many young kids, not just boys, but girls that are yearning for that connection with a father figure, and they just don't have it. And so for me, again, seeing the problem, I'm like, what can I do about this? So at a young age, I already knew, Stan, I knew that I wanted to make a difference. I didn't know how I was going to make a difference, but I knew that I was going to start with my own. I was going to get a wife. I wasn't going to divorce her. Like, we were going to ride this thing out. We were going to stick to the vows, right? But then the second thing mm-hmm. is we're going to have it possible so I can give them what I didn't get. And so, like I say, we got five. And I'll be honest with you, I'm done. Like, we're not having any more kids. but for real, you know, for me, I like to say this. I teach by day. So I teach the at-risk kids at a local school district at Midway ISD. But so that's my sixth child right there. I like to say that's my sixth child are the kids I teach. But my seventh child are the ones that I mentor out in the community. You know, and that's what we do through my organization, The Size of Man. So at a young age, to answer your question, I already knew. Like, it was already there. I was just looking for a way that I can go ahead and start to move on that desire.
You know what, brother? And I didn't know all that, everybody, because, you know, I'm learning too from him, and because I didn't get into asking him that, and I didn't ask him to go into that. So he's giving you all that. So, you know, this brother's transparent up front. And you know, the context of what you're talking about, I can say with me growing up, you know, I was, you know, my dad was always there. But my dad was a workaholic. He had to be to make our ends meet, you know, up there in Pennsylvania. And good man. I mean, my work ethic comes from my dad. I got a strong work ethic. You know, I'm not worried about pulling overtime hours. But, you know, when my children were younger, you know, I was always, yeah, they saw SeaWorld and they saw all these things that to me, I wanted to give my kids things that I didn't get. Not because my parents wouldn't do it, but we couldn't afford it. So I worked hard to provide that. But I wasn't always there physically. And sometimes as men, we think because we're providing that material thing and that escape. Because right. Like I say, on my show, I call out everybody. So I call out myself. You know, I mean, we provide that, yeah, you can go to Six Flags. We're going to get you to Disney World. We're going to do SeaWorld. We're going to do all this. And you sit back and you go, I'm doing what a man should do. But at the same time, when you're working all these hours to do that, you're not there.
Right.
See, they're not going to remember Six Flags at SeaWorld, and they're not going to remember Disney World. They're going to remember the school play that you weren't at. They're
right.
going to remember the baseball game that you weren't at. So, I mean, I'm not above, and some people, because I'm hard on people, and I know I am. I'll call people out in a heartbeat, but at the same time, I'll call myself out. Some folks would look at me and say, well, you are a great provider. You are a great father. I was a great father from a provider aspect of being able to give my children all the things that my parents weren't able to give me, but the one thing my parents were able to give me that I didn't give to my kids was as much time as I should have. Now, like I said, I'm real on here. I'll hurt white folks' feelings, black folks' feelings, anybody. I don't care But at the same time, you guys, I'll tell you about me. You know, if I could go back right now as a father and do it all over again with my two kids, maybe I wouldn't have worked as much. They might not have got the Six Flags, but maybe we would have got the Cameron Park here in Waco a little more one-on-one. You know, thank God my kids turned out okay in spite of. But I got a granddaughter now, and I always tell people granddaughters are God's way of, grandchildren, period, are God's way of giving you a makeup.
Come on now.
You know, so you know, I mean, I'm blessed in that aspect. But, I mean, I'm throwing that out there about me. You threw your part out there, I'm going to throw my part out there. And that's something nobody listening on here even knew about me. I can look good to people who are in the material world. Well, you did everything right. They had a nice house. They had this. They had that. And that's all cosmetic.
Right.
That's all feel good. But maybe my son needed an hour with me, not Six Flags. Maybe my daughter needed 2 hours with me. Maybe while I was working a side job to provide for a summer vacation, they would have rather I just be sitting in the bedroom talking to them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and that's my ghost that I got to carry. And nobody's perfect. That's what parenthood is about. It's about learning. And it's about being real. And like I said in the beginning, this show is real. On here, I'm not worried about nobody's feelings, including mine. And I point a finger, and I will, pardon my language, you know, I know how you feel, but I will light folks' asses up on this show. And I'll light mine up, too, when it has to be done like that. And that's just being real about it, because my show, this show is about the least. It's not about me being this or you being that. It ain't about that. I want that everyday user, that failure of a man or failure of a woman, that lost soul, that crack addict, that one everybody gave up on, the wealthy, unattached, I got every material thing, but you have nothing inside person, to sit down and pull up one of these shows and just go, for the grace of God, there go I. That's what's real.
That's
folks are giving up their Saturday mornings to hear us, brother, on here. And that's not an easy task. You're doing it. With that small nation that you got there at the house. But you're still taking the time out. And then you take time out to help other kids. So, you know, I can't do nothing but be floored. You know? So when you got the idea, I know what I think I want to do, because you ain't sure it's the thing. When did you get that defining thing and say, I'm going to step out there and do this? What brought that on?
Well, Stan, really, I think at In high school, I started to do quite a bit of mentoring. You know, I had like younger, you know, classmen that would come to me just asking me for different types of advice. So I was big brother to several people, you know. And so at that point, though, kind of carrying on into my time in the Marine Corps, like again, I would have people coming to me, and just asking me, you know, for advice, just asking me, you know, just to hang out with me, just to kick it. You know, and but it wasn't until I had moved to Austin, Texas, after getting out the Marine Corps, and I was in a college class, a business class that I was taking, and they had us do a business project. And on that project, they wanted us to come up with a business idea, some type of concept that we could do some type of presentation on. And for me, I've gotten to the point, Stan, where I don't like to waste moves. You know, like I want every move now to begin to count. And I know I've compared to a lot of people, I'm probably considered a young guy, you know, but I think from the mentors I had along the way, like they showed me to value the time, because you just don't know when your time is up. So I want to make moves, you know, that are going to count. And so when I'm taking this class, I'm like, all right, what business can we really do that's going to make a true impact? Kind of sit back, and I'm looking. I'm reflecting. And then I got to thinking, well, you know what? Fatherlessness is huge. It's a huge thing. And it's a lot of kids who don't have their fathers actively present and connected. And then so that's where the idea really began to take shape and begin to form. Is in that business class. And where I was at the time, we were in an apartment complex where I would see these boys, you know, that were friends of my boys. And I would see some of the other kids hanging out with all my kids. And I said, you know what, let me start talking to them. And so one thing led to another. And then the size of man, like that, that name came about because I was actually reading, I was reading a scripture in the Bible, and one of the things that came out that spoke to me was there's a story about a prophet named Elijah. And Elijah was in a time where there was a famine in the land. And there was a great famine. Famine had been going on for a few years. And so there was no water. There was a drought going on for the few years that the famine was taking place. Long story short, Elijah kept hearing from the Spirit of God, he kept hearing that, you know what, it's about the rain. And so he kept hearing like this sound of abundance of rain coming, and like nobody else was hearing it but him. And so he was only speaking what he had heard. He's like, man, listen, it's about the rain. He's telling the king of the land, listen, it's about the rain. And folks are pretty much like making fun of him, kind of mocking him, saying, man, yeah, right, it's not going to rain. Well, one day, you know, he gets the heads up from the Lord, like, hey, go check out and see if you see any clouds. He sent his servant out. Servant went to go look for clouds. He came back. Hey, Elijah, I don't see any clouds. I don't see no sign of rain. He said, go back. He had him do that 7 times. And on that last time, he said he came back to Elijah. The servant came back to Elijah. He said, listen, I do kind of see something right now. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, right? That's what I see. And at that point, Elijah got excited. And before you know it, that small cloud turned into this great host of clouds, right, where the rain just began to pour down. And so here it is. The famine's over. The rain has come just like God had promised. And so the size of man, when I see these young men, I know a lot of people, they see, oh, he's lost. Oh, he's rebellious. Oh, it's no hope for him, and things like that. Well, that's not what I see. I don't see a drought. I don't see a famine. I see abundant rain right here. And I think sometimes if we can change the way we look at people, the way we treat people, for sure it's going to change. We're going to address them in a different way. And not only do we address them in a different way, but they turn out to be different than the way that that they could have turned out, right? All because we chose to look at them in a different light. And so for me, the size of man came about because of the business project in my college class, and the name came about because I was reading scripture. And I just truly believe that what we're doing, it's impactful. And so I started doing that in Austin. I started reaching out to the boys, and we were doing a once-a-month meetup, you know, where we would get together. And I'm checking in on them. You know, we're going out to play basketball, you know, during the time that we didn't meet up. During that extra time that we were not together, we're hanging out. We're making phone calls. I'm picking them up from school, taking them back to school, you know, just things like that. And so it really began to grow, but it wasn't until I got to Waco where that thing just began to take off. And so we're at a point now where people are starting to hear what the size of man is doing, and they're starting to see what we're doing, more importantly.
You know what, brother? I'm going to tell you, keep doing what you're doing because you're right, and I see it. Every night, both in uniform and out of it. This country is full of people who are ready to, they're so Christian. Everybody gets Christian close to Sunday toward the end of the week. But we're so ready to treat people like trash and throw them away.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but I'll call the church out in a heartbeat because the church is an abysmal failure in these inner city neighborhoods across the country. And I don't want you to speak for them. This is just me talking. You know, I mean, good officers, men, women, I don't care if they're saved or not saved. That's their business. Go out here. We work under some horrendous conditions. We see people at their absolute abysmal worst. They got no hope. And then you look, and there's a church on every corner, an adult house next to the church, and many of them, and no one from the church has ever come to them. That's why what you're doing is so important. There's only three types of people in this world that anybody is ever going to meet, and everybody listening to this, and everybody that's going to download it, and everybody that's going to hear about it later, and all the trolls and haters, and the people that support it. Everybody's one of these. You got those that are caught, those that are caught up, and those that haven't been caught yet.
Right.
There ain't a hand out here that's clean. Hello, officers,
that's right.
Politicians,
that's right.
Preachers, everybody. See, that's why we do what we do here. And what you're doing, you know, when I spoke to those young men there, what amazed me was their, just their connection. First off, they look like a multicolored just family. I mean, I would have thought these kids were all actual real-life blood brothers, black, white. They were just all together in one thing. And see, that's what this is all about.
Right.
It's about coming together and being real.
Right.
So I got a caller right now. I'm going to put on with you real quick because I don't – and you actually got a bunch – there's a bunch of people on here. But for all you guys that have called in and listened, if you want to ask a question and you're all on there right now, just hit one and it'll show me a little question mark. And then I know that you have a question and that you're not just listening because I don't want to click on you and catch you out of bounds. But I'm going to go to Big Gus up there in the 804. What's going on, brother?
How you doing, Brother Stan? And peace and blessings to you and your guests.
Man,
I want to say
this, brother, I got in here today is off the chain.
That's right. I admire that brother. And he's a godsend to go out of his way to mentor kids, man, that are not his own. And to spend his hard-earned money and his time when he has five children, that's admirable, man. And I appreciate you doing that, brother. We need more men like that. And
hey, Gus, would you say all that again? Repeat that one more time because those who download it later may miss that, but that is significant.
I said it's admirable that you take time out of your life and you have five children of your own to mentor some other kids who you see that are in distress or could be in trouble or to stop them from, you know, going to the other side. That's admirable, man, and I appreciate you doing that, and I don't even know you, but I wish we had more brothers like that.
Yeah, they definitely appreciate that. Appreciate that, my brother.
So thank you. And I have another question. What steps do you take when you're approaching some young people who you know who might be straddling on a fence, either going to do something bad or getting influenced to do something bad when you go to mentor them? How do you go about doing that?
No, that's a great question. And I think that right there is the secret sauce. I'm about to give you the secret recipe. But for me, honestly, it goes right back to what Stan has said. Excuse me. Stan has said that he keeps it real. And that's really my approach. For me, honestly, like, I'm far from perfect, far from it. But I'm not afraid to let them know that, you know what, I was in your shoes. I was that at-risk kid. I was that one that didn't have daddy there. I was that one making bad choices. But look, I'm still here. And so when I began to open up to them and I let them, I'm transparent with them, now I can connect with them. Because a lot of young people, they got their guards up. They've been hurt too many times. They're like, man, I don't know if I can trust you. You know, so for me, I know that in order for me to get influence, I got to begin to connect. And so once I connect, they begin to let those walls down, and now I can have some influence. So now when I go to say something to them, the connection's already there. The influence is there. They're more apt to take what I said and at least think about it. I'm not saying every one of them is going to take it and just run with it, because not every one of them does, but they're at least going to give us a talk, right? And so that's the best thing that we can do is let them know, you know what, I'm not far removed. Like, I still make mistakes. Matter of fact, this is some of the stuff I went through, but at the same time, I'm here for you because I truly do care. And it's not about – it's like, please don't try to fake it. And that's the thing that I've learned is that I got to be real with them.
Thank you.
Because they have a discernment about them, you know, to where they can pick up. They know if somebody's just trying to butter them up, or they know if somebody's just trying to fake it, right? And so you got to be real with them when you go in and be transparent over the years. I'm just gonna keep it real, you know, and they respect that. And from there, like I say, that the walls drop, and there goes the influence because we made a connection.
There you go.
Amen. Well, I think you said something really profound, though. You have to be real with kids. You have to be real because they can see through that. I have children. We all have children. And if you're not straightforward with them, they can tell. Just like we can tell when they're lying or when they're
right.
giving them a bill of goods, they can tell when we, you know, not being truthful with them. So, you know, you have to be sincere in what you do, and you'll reach more people that way. But thanks for all you do, brother. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, Gus. Hey, I got your mic still open, Gus, but he's got another caller from the 254 area code. That's right here in Waco, 0224. You're on. What's going on?
Hello?
Yes, you're on. We can hear you.
I am?
You are.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to call in because Mr. Thomas had such an impact on my two grandsons. I'm a single grandmother raising four grandkids, and I'm going to see if I can do this without crying, but raising four grandkids, two girls and two boys. Now, my oldest grandson had met Mr. Thomas when he came in and spoke at his school, and both parents are not in the kids' lives, and so they came to me with really broken hearts, and if it wasn't for the grace of God and all the people that he has put in these kids in my life, they would have broken spirits as well. But my oldest grandson came home, and he said, "Mom, Grandma, I have met this man that came to speak at the school," and he said, and I just so identified with him, he said, "but I couldn't tell him." He said, "I just couldn't tell him because I kept crying and crying and crying." He said, "I couldn't tell him how I felt." And so I said, "okay, I've got to find who this man is." And so I reached out to Mr. Thomas, and he has been such a major influence in my grandson's life. My grandson actually has him in his phone as Lifesaver. And the boys, two of the boys, just both completed the camp and just had an amazing time. So I just had to reach out to the program to let you know the influence that Mr. Thomas has had on their lives. And I would like to say that as many fatherless boys as there are fatherless girls as well, and I would like to see what could we do there.
Yes.
Well, maybe that. See, there's your calling. Right there.
Yes. So I just thank you, Mr. Thomas, and you know I do from the bottom of my heart. And God bless everything that you do.
Wow. Thank you, Miss Kitty.
Hey, girl. Before you answer, I want the caller to know now. Don't hang up, because this is not one of those shows where you call and talk for 45 seconds and you got to hang up. You're in here, so you can stay on. If you don't want to talk anymore, you don't have to. But, you know, you're in the conversation now. That's how we do this here.
Well, I am at work, and I actually do have a couple of guests standing in front of me, so I do need to hang up. But I do have the program on both of my monitors right now, so I just wanted to give you my comments and just thank you again.
Thank you for calling. Daryl, you want to respond to that, brother?
I mean, honestly, like, Miss Tiffy, she knows. Like, she almost broke me down. She had sent me a message on yesterday. She sent me a message, and she nearly broke me down. And I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't do this for the praise. I do it because I feel obligated. Like, I feel this sense of duty. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, and so to hear that, though, it's fuel. It's fuel that keeps me going. You know, so I really appreciate those words. I do, and I'm glad to see that you know what, the impact being made, but it's not over. It's not over. My hope is that once I'm able to make an impact in a young man's life, that they too will go on to make an impact in somebody else's life while I'm still making impact. And next thing you know, we got a whole lot of changes happening, right? And that's my aim. That's my aim. So I'm definitely honored, and I'm humbled, you know, to hear those words again, Miss Tippy. I appreciate you. Definitely love you guys. Noah, I love you, man. Jeremiah, love you. You guys are awesome.
Well, I think this is an amazing thing that you're doing. And, you know, God is so good. He just put you in Noah's life. Noah was at a point where he was about to make it or break it. And he was at a breaking point because he's so consumed by fear over where his mom is and when will she ever come back, or will she ever come back? And then his dad, you know, and then he met you, And some, I saw that life kind of come back into him, and it's just amazing.
Awesome. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I mean, listening to you two dialogue, and like I said, sometimes I get these colorful metaphors that'll pop out. They're not curse words. They're exclamation points. You see them that way, but sometimes they just come out. But because there's no other way to say something sometimes. But these deadbeat-ass dads across this country.
Tell it.
Who got Air Jordans on their feet, rims on a $500 car. And when I say brothers, I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Are you so-called ballers and players? This man's got five kids of his own and is dealing with a whole nation of other kids here. I'm calling your asses out. There's nowhere to hide after this show today. That lady just poured her heart out. This brother's talking about what he does. And it's like I said, this show's not for everybody. This is not your grandfather's radio station. But you know what? I will always go out real. I'm not going to give the cowardly fathers a place to hide. No, no, not today. Not today. And I tell you what, if I run into you, I'm going to give you the link to this. Or I'll put it on the CD, whatever I got to do. Because it's time to step up to the plate. White fathers and black fathers and Hispanic fathers, it's time for all of you to come out. You got money for Jordans and rims and trinks and clothes and fake jewelry and side boobs and all this craziness, but you don't have time to help another. If I had a dime for the murders, I have worked murders where I've watched the kids grow up to be murdered. I have locked up generations. Grandfather, when I started, father, 5 or 6 years later, now I'm locking up the kids.
Can we take that?
We can't legislate this away. We're waiting on the government to come in and solve the problem, and we're telling the government, get out of my life. You don't want to go to church, but then you wonder where the mentors are. You want some guidance, but you don't want to read. You want help, but you don't want nobody to tell your kids what to do. This is today's show. When this brother gets done speaking, especially after hearing this lady, I'm sorry, ain't none of y'all got no excuses. They're polite, and they're cordial. I'm not. I'm rough and truthful. I'm just going to tell you, this is no chaser here. I don't have ice, and I don't have a chaser. You're going to get straight up. So between the three of us that you've heard so far, you take what you get. But these deadbeat dads, don't let me run into you when I'm at work. Don't let me run into you.
Hey, and you know what
you
else? One of the things is that, and I wasn't going to say all that, so you said it yourself.
That's all right. That's why I'm here.
But the thing about it is that with these children, it doesn't matter to them. They love their dad, and especially my granddaughters. They are like, just, he cannot do any wrong, but where is he, you know? But they keep thinking that he's going to do this and this and this and this, and they have that hope and they have that just amazing love that is going nowhere. It's not, you know, it's just void. The boys are pretty much angry, but the girls, they just can't. It's just love. Unconditional love.
But that was the fault with me. I had to call myself out. I worked extra jobs, side jobs, part time. I did everything that society tells me to do, be the provider. And I had to work extra jobs to do all this. And what I missed was my kids growing up. I missed a lot of school plays because I'm working a probation officer. I'm working there. And all this while, I think I'm doing the right thing, and I feel comfortable in my manhood because I can say, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have went there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they were saying, I don't want to go there. I need you here. It's like I say, I'm not above calling myself out, and I'm not going to come on here and act like I was the Brady Bunch father because looking back, and my kids are grown now, but had I done just a little bit less work and a little bit more time there, and my kids turned out fine, but maybe they would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
So money is good and work is good, but sometimes when you're making your ends meet, time is better.
Right.
So for all you guys think, well, I bought him some Jordans for school. Okay. How about, did you sit down and study with him? Are you reaching out to Daryl on the program he's doing?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to call out everybody, because if you're in Waco, and before this brother gets off, because I'm about to extend the show, Daryl, but before this brother gets off, if y'all not in Waco, especially, if you're not lighting up his website and lighting up his contacts to see what you can do, you know what? When Officer Mason come up in your house and you want to tell me about my kids don't have this, and brother, I want to help young people, I'm going to be like, well, where were you when this show? I got people in China listening to this show. And if you're down here in Waco, you got no excuse. And if you're worried about your feelings getting hurt, get over it. Everybody that calls themselves a Christian didn't get that way without conviction. And conviction ain't comfortable. It hurts.
That's right.
Amen.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm going to say something real quick. Children, our young people are in crisis, man. It's really, our children are in crisis, and we need positive role models in their lives. Especially our young men. Not to say anything against girls, because I have daughters too, man, and I love my babies. But our young men, we have to have people in their life to teach them how to be men. We have to, so they can grow up being a man and be self-sufficient and not, you know, be a problem, you know, of society where the court system got to deal with them later. And it's kind of hard. Every household is not perfect, but you know, with brothers like Mr. Thomas there and Madam Grandmother. Take care of those kids, man, and do the best that you can to put them on the right path so they can make right decisions down the way. I have with my children, you know, they know in my household, I ask my youngest daughter is 15. I said, honey, failure's not an option in our house, right? She said, that's right, Daddy. Failure's not an option. She said, Daddy, this is a democracy. I said, no, it's not in my house. You can't even go out and drive a car. So there is no democracy in my house. I am the dictator, your mother and I. Well, we say go until you're old enough to be self-sufficient and buy your own, then you go. You're only obligated to put a roof over your head. Other than that, we're not obligated to buy you all the fancy stuff that you need and all this crazy stuff. Your job is to go to school and learn how to take care of yourself when you get older. But we need more brothers like you. Again, I can't say it enough, Mr. Thomas. We need more brothers like you to take pride and taking care of other people's children and teaching them and you know, and nurturing them and showing them that other people do care. But thank you again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know, when I'm listening to the comments, I think one of the things I want to make clear is that, again, our whole mission is to combat fatherlessness. And I know oftentimes I get people asking me, you know, well, why don't you go after the fathers? And my reply is simple. The reason why I don't go after fathers is not saying I don't talk to fathers, but my first priority is the son. Why? Because I have access to him. I got access to him. And so I figured if we can begin to shape, groom, pour into, empower the sons while they're still boys, now they can grow up to be fathers that are present. Fathers that are connected. And so, in essence, we are combating fatherlessness by mentoring and grooming and empowering the young men. You know what I mean? So that's my whole thing. I want to be able to help combat fatherlessness, but we're doing it through the avenue of going after the sons, teaching them how to be complete men. But you're absolutely right, brother. When you talk about the need for fathers, it's great. Both male and female, they need fathers. And that's why, for me, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. That was a point in time where all seven of us, my wife, my five kids, and myself, were homeless. And the reason why we were homeless is because I believed so much in being a part of my kids' life that I was willing to go into this self-employment status, right, and have my own business. And I thought it was going pretty good. So I left my job, and I ended up, the business ended up just bottoming out. And so the business just plundered, and we weren't able to pay the bills, couldn't take care of the rent, so on and so forth, and so we ended up being homeless. But that's how much I had believed in being a part of my kids' life and my wife's life, is that I got to be there. Some way or another, I got to be there, you know. And of course, you know, by the grace of God, we bounced back, you know, and we're here today. But that's how much I believe in being connected with my children. Like, I got to be there. I don't want to miss nothing. Like, I got to be there. I got to, because my dad, he wasn't there. I felt that pain, and I don't want my kids feeling that pain that I once felt. I want them to know, nah, you know what? Daddy was probably tired, but, man, daddy was there. Daddy was there, you know, my first date. Daddy was there meet my first boyfriend. Daddy was there, you know, when I had learned how to ride my bike. Daddy was there. Daddy was there when I got into my first fight. Daddy was there. I want them to always know that. Daddy was my first coach. I want them to have that as their story, you know, because
Amen.
I believe in the role that we have as fathers. I think sometimes it goes under the radar, for lack of better words. You know, it's underappreciated. Like, we have a for real role as fathers, and I don't want us to underestimate that, because I truly believe the dads, that we are the foundation of the family. And if we're not in our rightful place, then how can we truly build a healthy and thriving family? Dads need to be present.
Amen.
That is so true, you know, Mr. Thomas. And, oh, my gosh, with what you're doing, because it is probably the most painful thing in the boys, in the kids' lives, without their parents, without their fathers, without them. But you give them, you start filling that pain and that hole and that void with them feeling good about themselves. And that's
right.
What you're doing, is you're helping these boys, and I've seen a change in them this week, and you're just filling that pain and that void with themselves, and that is just the most awesome thing in the whole wide world, and I just, and they'll go forward in life. I've seen that pep in their step this week. I've seen all that. And they're excited. They want to go to camp again next month, you know. And so I just thank you. And with all of that being said, I'm going to have to hang up since I am at work.
But well, I appreciate you calling the show.
Absolutely. Man, I just can't, you know, I can't thank you enough. And if there's ever anything I myself can do, I'm here for you. And
yes,
your
ma'am.
And your journey and your mission.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Tiffany.
I'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye bye.
You're welcome, Brother Dale. You got man. You lighting up the phones here, brother. You got another caller coming in from the 203 area code 0263.
Right.
What's going on? Hold on. Let me get your mic up. All right. What's up, Ty?
Go ahead.
Hey, Ty,
we'll
let Charlie go ahead and go, and I'm gonna leave your mic open.
I ain't
you
got
know
much
something?
Time, so go ahead.
Yeah, you know something? Go ahead, Ty.
No.
Go ahead, Ty. I'll just sit back and listen.
Yeah, Ty, because
I'm at. Yeah, let me just say this quick. I'm going to tell the brother, welcome home. And when I mean welcome home, I don't mean welcome home to America, welcome home to his residents. Welcome home to the cultural connection of our mere existence as a people. As he hit it on the nail, the foundation of that family is that father. It's the missing piece. And when you hear the phrase, it takes a whole village to raise a child, it doesn't matter what your last name is. We're all part of this village. And
that's
as
right.
He said, it's not about getting praise, and you don't do it for praise. It's a moral, ethical, and spiritual responsibility we have to one another. These kids today are hurt, they're mad, they've been abandoned, they feel neglected as well as, of course, rejected. So, and who set that stage? Those AWOL so-called fathers. And when I say AWOL, absent without leave, absent without logic, absent without loot, and absent without love. Now, they absent on all four counts with that L. It ain't just leave, it's logic, loot, yep, because you got to financially support them, and love. The most important thing you can give a child in this world is time, as Brother Stan said. Hey, you can buy him this, buy him that, but that time is more important than money. I have to say that we expect these kids to see themselves through life, but we've blinded them because instead of them becoming boys to men, a lot of men have went from men to boys. They're evading responsibility. You know, we tell them don't flunk out of school, don't quit school. But we quit on our responsibilities. We flunk out of fatherhood, and we flunk out and punk out, because it takes a lot of courage it to raise children. It's the hardest job we'll ever have in this world. Whether you have sons and daughters, and like yourself, brother, I have six. Mine are all grown now too, and it never stops. And so, you know, we have to be that architect. We are the seed. The woman is the one that carries the egg, but we're the one who plants the seed. And that's why you hear, young man, I got to take care of my seed. Well, we got to bring the water. We got to bring the fertilizer. We got to bring the sunlight. We got to be a present so we can be a present in their life, which is a gift. And many of us have, unfortunately, turned to a curse. So this is why I'm saying, welcome home. You're back where you belong, because we become the living examples what we expect in our communities, not the dead excrement. And I said it, dead. I ain't going to call them fathers. I'm not even going to say deadbeat. Just dead excrement, you know. And for those who don't know what that means, look it up, okay? Because if we're going to build a nation, we got to start from the seed. You can't grow nothing without a seed. And when the seed is missing, that means that father who planted that seed, and it's his responsibility to find, and this is, I'm going to leave with this acronym, and I got to move on because I'm in the middle of taking care of some business at the Department of Motor Vehicles, so I stepped outside. Find a truth, having involvement that's responsible. Find a truth, having involvement. Involved. Mm-hmm. Get yourself involved. And only when you get yourself involved will these kids be able to evolve. Yeah. Because we're there. We're present. Your presence means more than your money. And I commend you. And again, brother, come back home. That's where we need more men. More brothers, more males. It ain't about what your last name is, where you came from, whose household you grew up in. Is where you're at, and then where you're going. And we can't light a torch to the future if all the lights are blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
Right.
Keep your light light and keep lighting the way for other children, men, young men, and women alike, because they need us. Make no mistake about it. Thank you, brother. Thank you for all you do.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Appreciate you, DKD. Hey, Daryl, you lighting it up. Let me get Charlie in here, and then I got another call, 254 area code 9922 and 817. Last 43064. I'm gonna get to y'all, so don't hang up. Charlie, what's going on, brother?
Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. It's just been a pleasure to listen to this show. This the grandmother that just called, she almost had me crying in tears.
Real talk.
Mr. Thomas, I hear you, Stan. This is definitely real talk. Mr. Thomas, I just want to also commend you also. And I just want to say, it sounds like you're taking care of a lot of these things financially out of your own pocket. Has the community of Waco also helped donate money or any charitable causes, giving you any money so you can go on and help these young men stay on the straight and narrow? Unfortunately, I know in my neck of the woods, we had a young man that unfortunately got with some youth his family tried to have him stay away from, and they got into a strong-arm robbery and ran from the police, and he ended up going through the windshield and dying. So as they are just preparing to bury him, his uncle got shot 8 days later the other night. And it's when you hear tragedies, not only here, but in other communities, if they're going to pay to incarcerate people, they need to pay to educate our youth before they travel down these travel down these paths. And I just want to make sure that you're also getting the necessary things that you need, sir, because obviously it costs money to take care of our young men, whether you take them out to the movies or to the park, even to throw the ball around, get something to drink. I just want to know that the community is also backing you. And great show, Stan. Really enjoying it, brother.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, sir.
Yes. And to answer your question in terms of being backed up financially by the community, we have. We have some relationships, and we formed some great friendships of people who have helped. And I would say this, just to give a quick shout out. There's been a couple of people in the community that has sponsored a total of 14 campers for us, and the camp fee is $150 per camper. So it was definitely a blessing, you know, to be able to get that. We've had some companies that actually helped to get our shirts that we have for the campers and the volunteers. Midway Middle School actually opened up the doors, you know, for us to host our campers. You know, so we've had a lot of support. But I got to say this, we definitely need even more support than what we had, because that was enough to cover for the first camp. We got another camp coming up that we definitely need support with. And from what I understand, we should be doubling in size in terms of participants. So we're definitely going to need more, and that's only for this summer. I mean, we have a cookout that we're getting ready to do August the 4th, so we definitely need help there. And then we want to continue this relationship. So we certainly need a building. You know, I don't know if there's anyone out there that has connections, you know, with a building, but we can definitely use a building, transportation, you name it.
We're going to make that work. Don't worry about that. We'll get that work. And let me ask you this, Daryl. What does it cost for one child, for the kids to register one child?
It's $150.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And this is me. And he didn't know I was going to do this. He doesn't, and this is me doing what I do. And y'all that know me, you know, I'm about people getting involved, not posturing. Don't give me a bunch of scriptures and well-meaning. Get off your ass and do something. There goes a colorful metaphor again. I apologize. Anyway, this is what I'm going to do, brother. I got one of the kids for your next deal.
All right.
Got that.
Oh, come on.
Now,
appreciate it, man.
Every month, and the number 4, okay? Now, that number 4 means forever.
All right.
Every month. I'm going to give you $50 towards what you do.
Come on.
And no, I ain't rolling in dough in case people think he got all that. No, I don't have all that, but I know what to do with what I got. See, when I give into something that springs forth fruit, I'm going to get mine back, so I'm not worried about it. And I'm going to go out there and call them deadbeat-ass dads. I'm going to call them out all day because I've earned the right to do it. But I'm going to tell you what, I've got one of these kids for your next camp, and
awesome.
You can meet me personally. I'm going to hand you the money. You do with it. I don't care if you feed your family with it or you put it. I don't care. See, you're going to get blessed today.
Okay.
And other folks, listen to this. You need to dig you churches in Waco, all over Waco. You put enough money into nonsensical funds. He won't say it, but I'm going to say it. We like to play church. And say, well, I put enough money in the plate. Put it in somebody's hand that's doing something with it. That's real talk. Now, I don't care. Y'all know me. Preachers can get bent out of shape. Folks can get mad. Don't blame Daryl. Daryl didn't know I was going to say what I'm saying. It ain't Daryl. It's me. So, I'm man enough to take mine. But you know what, brother? I'm going to make sure every month you're going to get not mail, not sent. The check is in the mail. I'm going to hand you that every month. And when you need something, I'm not the end-all, be-all. And I work a lot of overtime doing everything I do. But you know what? If I got to scrape back on something, I'm good. I'm not going to see you struggle. And if I see you struggling, guess what? I'm struggling with you. Because what you're doing means that much to me, because I'm tired of working these murders. I'm tired of locking these kids up.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the system throwing them away.
Mm. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I'm tired of looking at folks' phones to call at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning when I got a kid in trouble and nobody wants to answer. Hello, preachers. I'm getting on your ass right now, and I am.
Hey.
Everything from long-time people that have died to walk with me over in the troubled areas. Well, you know, brother, I'd like to, but Sunday morning come early. Sunday morning been coming the same time it's come for the last 2,000 years.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to take God to the situation and stop sitting back praying in there. That's a bunch of nonsensical, narcissistic BS. Without struggle, there's no progress. Frederick Douglass said that. And James Baldwin, my favorite person, said, I can't believe what you say because I see what you do.
Amen.
So, brother, I got one of your kids for the next camp. and every month. You got that from me. That's me to you.
I definitely appreciate that, man.
Man, you ain't got to get no homage to me. Don't worry about it. That's, I love what you're doing. I'm going to get you another caller on here for an 817 area code 3064. What's going on? Last four, 3064, going once. Going twice. All right, the 254 area code, 9922, you're on. What's up?
What's good with you, Stan, man? This is Ahmad Washington, man. I just want to give my brother Darryl Thomas, man, shout out, bro. We've been chopping it up for some months now, and it's been a blessing just to be able to collab with you, bro, and to just, to grind and pursue the vision, man. You know what I'm saying? Team work, make the dream work. So that's what's up, bro. So just want to show some love, bro.
Absolutely. No. I appreciate you, man, for sure.
This is right here.
For those that don't know, Ahmad Washington. So this is my brother on a lot of different levels. But you talk about like-minded, like-hearted, in this grind, in this fight, in the trenches together. And that's what we're doing. And so Ahmad, I appreciate you, brother. And I know the best is yet to come.
I already know. That's what's up.
Now don't hang up. Because you say you in the trenches, but right now you in the barbershop. That means it's all over. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. I appreciate you. Because, I see you brothers, you ain't got nothing but responsibilities and bills. Out the yin yang, straight up and down. So these brothers are not sitting out here postured, for anybody. They're not driving BMWs and Benzes and Bentley. They're not asking nobody for nothing. And they're making things happen on faith.
Yeah.
So you're not gonna call here and go away without getting a shout out from me. Because I respect what you're doing. Because there's too many people in positions to affect change. They're trying to legislate instead of getting off their ass and just doing it.
Yeah.
There's too many folks who won't do what's right till they're surrounded by the right people to make the right thing look right. Right's going to stand on its own. It don't need me and nobody else to stand behind it to defy it. So, I got nothing but crazy respect for you brothers and what you're doing.
That's what's up, man. That's the thing that kind of made me think about. Is that, when you do the right thing, bro, the right people will come along and link up with you. Sometimes it's going to attract, leeches and stuff like that, but that's why you got discernment. That's why you just, got to have your mind and your spirit aware to the people that's coming in your circle.
Amen.
Because success bring everybody around, good and bad, And so even with what we're doing, it's crazy kind of how we linked up because, when – he had got here, got to the Waco area. Somebody had told me, it's like, hey, Maude, man, you need to link up with Darryl. Y'all need to meet. It was actually Sister Marva Harrison, and she was like, man, y'all need to meet. When y'all link up, it's going to be something serious, because at that time, I served as a pastor at the Methodist Children's Home where we serve, roughly around 189 students from various backgrounds, socioeconomic status. But they all there because of one thing. They got problems. They got issues. Their family got issues. Everything from drug addiction to, some of it is just, getting with the wrong crowd, whatever the case may be. And so understanding the impact of fatherlessness, man, live that firsthand because I do more fathering than I do pastoring at this spot. Where we spending time talking about life, talking with, girls about dating and importance of, not giving up the draws. And and focusing on your identity and that, like I say, the thing he expressed in terms of lack of identity, that's what it is, man. When I see it, with my own kids, I have two kids. I ain't shooting for the five mark like my boy, but we got our two, and I see the importance. Like at one point, my daughter, she's 11 now, but a couple of years ago, she had self esteem issues because some little boy told her hair was ugly. And so for a full year, we read a book called I Am Black, I Am Unique with a whole bunch of different color, African-American kids in it with different hair textures and all that stuff, along with the scripture, about what God was saying about who she is uniquely and wonderfully made. But every day it was a mantra in her spirit. And so because I took that time out, and to invest in doing that every day for a year, bro, like that transformed her. Well, her swag is on 10 million now, And the same thing with my son, man, just speaking life to him. And, you know, because working with those kids at Methodist Home, seeing the impact of fatherless situations, it just makes me even more keenly aware and focused on, you know, while I'm trying to bless and save, you know what I'm saying, and be a blessing and invest in the lives of other children, that I don't forget my own, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's just, you know, finding that balance and keeping it moving. But when we linked up, we just chopped it up for some months, man. Just talked, met at Starbucks, you know what I'm saying? Every Saturday morning, just talking about the vision, the dreams, the goals, you know what I'm saying? Who he
right.
is as a man, who I am as a man, and just
right.
this, you know what I'm saying, in terms of, and where we genuinely love and like each other as brothers and as friends, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then just let God take it from there, man. And whatever he was doing, it's like, bro, I serve, man. I just want to, you know, be what God is, and I see him moving, and let's go. Let's get it. So.
Right.
What you doing is working. I got to get that.
I got it, man.
We got a bunch of callers. I want to get them in. We got one from the 214 area code, last 45160. You got a question, comment, concern for Daryl? He's on here.
How you doing, Stan? Shout out to Behind the Blue Curtain. This is Rob from the Roundtable. I had a question for you, for your guest, Mr. Thomas. I came into the conversation a little late, but I believe he was getting heavy into just the mentoring of kids, having been prior military. Also, you know, welcome back, brother. I'm you know, prior Navy. You know, at the end of the day, we got to do what we got to do in the underground to give back to our communities. But I definitely love what you were talking about and discussing, you know, in terms of the mentorship at the young, you know, at the children's level, at the young man's level. But I want to take it to the next level, if you don't mind. I would like to ask your advice. You know, as you know, as a business owner, you know, as an entrepreneur, I want to be able to. I'm hearing an echo. Sorry. Excuse me. Hello.
Yeah, well, I'm still here. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah,
there's
an echo.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, sorry. I'm just gonna. I was gonna ask my question. Just as an entrepreneur, I just wanted to know, how can we get, you know, how can we pass around our information at our level? You know, I've been running my business for almost 2 years now, and so like at the end of the day, I'm looking for a way to incorporate not just the community at the adult level, but you know, because it's veteran owned. But I mean, I want to also, how can we make it child friendly? I'm guessing is, you know, the question I'm trying to ask, and in incorporating what you're doing, because there are veterans out there that want to open daycare centers, that, you know, that do want to interact with kids and whatnot, and want, you know, the small business owners. Just the idea is, how can we take that to the next level? Because you also talked about, you know, kids being better fathers if they have a father figure. Well, okay, you know, I would also, you know, make the statement that, well, it's possible we can teach, you know, kids how to manage finances at a basic level if we're willing to teach them how to add 1 + 1 and get 2. So, I mean, you know, like if we can start earlier with teaching financial responsibility, or just, you know, financial management, I was wondering, is there a way we can incorporate that together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I talk about being a complete man, like we do, the emphasis, again, is to combat fatherlessness. And we do that by mentoring them, teaching them how to be complete men. So not just fathers that are present, not just fathers that are connected, but fathers that are also responsible, spiritually responsible, economically, financially responsible, you know, ethically responsible, so on and so forth. And so even when it boils down to your own health, you know, being responsibly health-wise. And so these are different components that we do put emphasis on with the size of the man. And so when you talk about finance, hands down, there's an opportunity. And matter of fact, I'm gonna give you my phone number. I want you to at least, you know, text me or whatever the case may be, and we'll talk more offline in terms of what it is that we can do. But that element that I really believe in focusing on, because a lot of our at risk, the reason, the thing that makes them at risk, is has everything to do with poverty in a lot of cases.
not all of them, but a lot of them are suffering from poverty. So I want to be able to show them you don't have to go and hit that lick, which means I'm about to go rob somebody, right? You don't have to go do that to get money. You don't have to go steal from somebody else in order to get ahead. Like, we can show you how to grow your own money, how to make your own money the right way and with integrity. You know what I mean? So with that being said, brother, my number is 512.
Y'all hook up through my Facebook, and you know, Rob, he's on my Facebook, man. Y'all hook up and do that through Messenger, because brother, you may not want to do that because your phone might get blown up by God.
Matter of fact, I'll do him, Stan. I'll do him one better. If you have pen and paper, Mr. Thomas, you can take down. Yeah,
just
I was going to give him about the Facebook.
We'll do it through Facebook,
man. His stuff is there, you know, and y'all can message and do that, because I don't want his phone blown up and there's too many trolls and people that I got a fair amount of hate, and I'm not going to let the brother go out like that. I'm a watchguard. Yes, I am, you know.
Yes, sir.
And both y'all, you can find him, Rob, both y'all on my Facebook. Y'all hook up on there, man. You know, he'll give out some contact stuff at the end, but I don't want his number blown up, because Lord only knows who's going to call, you know.
Hello.
But I wanted to get another caller in. I got in here from the 843 area code. 1854 is the last four of your number. You're on. What's going on? All right, 843 area code. Last four of your phone number is 1854. You're on. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Oh, hi, how are you guys doing?
We're fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just listening. Oh, my God. This is so awesome. This is so awesome, sir, what you're doing for the young generation, for the little boys. Because we need them. We need them to grow up like men and be able to take care of themselves and their families. And I know my father left when I was 12, and he came back, and, you know, me as a daughter, no fathers can do wrong, and we daughters love our fathers, but the boys, they were a little angry, and I talked to them and let them know that's for your dad, get to know them. So as we got older, we got a chance to, you know, to hear his side of the situation. But these young men today, they need us, especially you guys. And I applaud that you five children, well, they're grown now. It's awesome. It's like you're taking over a nation. And that's what we need. We need warriors. We need strong lions out there to protect our young boys. They need us. So I just thank you so much. I mean, there's no words to say, but I really appreciate you. And you keep up the good work. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Mr. Stan, you're an awesome man. You keep it up. God bless you, man. You are awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just here. I'm not awesome. I'm just here. You know, I'm just going to do what's in front of me to do. And some folks will like it. Some folks won't. I have haters. I have people that love what I do. But at the end of it, you know, I plant seeds, and we'll see the fruit that comes from it, you know.
We don't care. We don't care. And that goes for me. I don't care. You guys are doing what y'all need to do, what God called y'all to do. Because the haters, they'll come around. Don't worry about them. Don't even worry about them. That's their problem. They'll work it out.
But in the meantime, I hope they keep hating. Every time they view something, I get a view. So look, all you haters, keep trolling. You know,
right.
You're learning, you just don't know it.
Amen.
And we need everybody to help. It's just not just for one, you know, person or three or four. We need everybody to pitch in to help, and that's what it's all about.
I
just thank you guys. I thank you so much for doing your job and doing other people's job too. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
say this real quick for the record. My five kids, they are not grown yet. I have one. I got two teenagers. One, she's about to graduate next year. And then my youngest, she's three boys and two girls, right? But they're not grown yet, so we feel very active, moving around very busy.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
I will say, I would say this, that one of my philosophies is that a candle loses nothing by lighting another candle, you know? And mm-hmm. so if we can take this approach, and sometimes we think, well, no, I don't have time to give back, or I can't go and do this or do that because I got to take care of my own. Listen, you're not going to lose anything by helping somebody else. You're not going to lose anything by lighting another
candle.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's just the opposite. You're going to gain. You're going to gain. It's going to make
exactly.
our world that much better. It's going to make our community that much better, that much stronger. And so it's going to be in our best interest to go out and help light other candles. So that's
and you know what? And you know what, sir? I'm with babies every day at the school. I work
mm-hmm.
with the school. And they come, they hug me, you know, and you know, they just talk to me. And you can see some of them are broken when they
mm-hmm.
start to act out. And it's good if you can be a role model to them and listen. And that's what they need. They need somebody to listen to them and to love them, you know,
yeah.
and show that you care. And that's what's important. You can buy them yeah. anything, but it's just being there, listening to them and holding their hands and just giving them a hug and say, you know, I love you, but, you know, I don't, you know, you're not my child, Andy, but I love you. Just let them see that somebody loved them. And that's what they
right.
want. That's all they want.
Right.
But I just thank you. I'm not going to make a long story short, so long, but I'm trying to make it short, but I'm not going to go because I can talk. So I'm going to try to keep it short.
Thank
but
you.
I thank you. I appreciate it. I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Stan, you take care of yourself and keep it up.
Oh, I will.
Keep it up.
Okay. I'll be here.
God bless you both.
Okay.
Okay.
Darryl, what
all
we
right.
usually do about this time in the show is I go down through everybody that's called and held on and said their points and stayed on. So what I like to do, we got so many today, I usually do 1 minute. But I'm going to go through each of them. And, brother, I'm going to let you close the show out. So if you can hang on for a minute. And I'm going to start out up in 804 area code with Big Gus. Gus, you got 1 minute, brother. What is anything you want? What's the main topic? What's on your mind? What are you thinking right about now? 1 minute. Go.
All right. Well, I want to say again to thank you to Brother Thomas and the other caller, too. Just think how profound of an influence you could have on a kid's life, man, by just showing a little interest in them and showing them that you care. You could, I mean, they can grow up to be doctors, whatever, and they will point back to that one instance in their life when they were at a low point that some other adult genuinely took an interest in their life and their well-being, man. That is so profound, man. You don't know the effect for years to come that you have had on somebody else's life, man. So kudos
mm-hmm.
to you and thank you. Mm-hmm. And make sure before you get off the air to leave some contact information so I can get something started up here in the great 804, the great state of Virginia.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Gus. We're going to go down to the next caller, 203 area code, last 41513. Charlie, you got 1 minute, brother. What's important to you? What's up? What's going on?
Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways because the past couple of weeks, that's all I've been either attending or talking about is brothers doing more in their community. And again, kudos to you, Stan, and Mr. Thomas for what he's doing in that community of Waco. And, you know, it, like Whitney Houston used to sing, children are our future. Well, you're guaranteeing our children's future. And it's a pleasure to hear about all the good work that you're doing. I wish you much success your first year with this camp because I know it's going to be something that's going to be going on. And who knows, maybe your older children later will get involved because obviously you have set the way or the right way with your children. So also, Stan, you can let Mr. Thomas know if he wants to come on my show and talk about other things that are on his mind. He's more than welcome. And just God bless you, brother. Keep doing what you're doing, and you will truly be blessed. Have a good morning, guys.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Tony. Love you, brother. All right, next one, 254 area code 9922. You got 1 minute. Anything you want to talk about? What's going on?
Man, I just want to say to my brother, man, just thank you for allowing your mess to not only become a message for other people, but also to create a movement. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people will talk about what they've been through, but people won't take action, you know what I'm saying, off of, you know, the stuff that that has transformed them, man. And so just appreciate you, man, again. I'm delighted to be a part of the movement and what God is doing, bro. So, man, stay encouraged, man, and you already know. Ride or die, man. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, brother, and I appreciate everything that you're doing, and especially for chiming in and calling in. Appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure.
The next one, area code 214-5160. You got 1 minute. Anything that's important to you. It could be any topic you want.
Absolutely. Just want to say thank you again, Stan, for having this platform, and then thank you again to Mr. Thomas. I'll just close out with saying, you know, you can't for a lot of the things that have been discussed in terms of the children. Like yes, it does have a lot to do with poverty, and one does kind of play off the other. And I think that's also an angle we can have. You know, economic influence in our communities is definitely at the very least a top three issue we should have in terms of rebuilding. I'll leave it at that, just in terms of, you know, of that situation. But you can definitely follow us at Roundtable presented by GCC Productions. And yes, I would like to link up, you know, and find you on Facebook, Mr. Thomas, and, you know, talk to you independently on how we can, you know, take this to the next level. Thanks again, Stan.
Thank you.
All right,
Rob,
appreciate you, brother. And let me see, where am I? 817 area code. Let's see, 3064. What's going on? 1 minute.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to tell DJ, you know, Mr. Thomas, we grew up with him. He and my brother were good friends, and I've been listening to the broadcast since it started. You know, it's just very refreshing.
You're going to get about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, because I couldn't get my phone off mute because I was trying, you know, to not have any noise in the background. But you know, it's just a blessing to see somebody that you've grown up with, you know, go out and be positive and impact the world in such a way. There's a generativity theory that was, you know, made by Eric Erickson in 1950. And the main focus of it is just basically nurturing, you know, your own kids and everyone else around you who may need it. And there's 7 main components of it, and one of the ones that stands out to me is commitment. You got to have the commitment to be able to be in these kids' lives. They need it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up as a young girl, my father was on drugs, and it didn't matter to me that he was on drugs. I just wanted him there. You know, his presence to me there meant the world because it seemed like he was a giant. So I'm just excited about the things that God has allowed DJ to do, you know, to impact these young boys' lives, the guidance that they need. You know, the Bible says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So I'm so, you know, thrilled in my soul that this movement of being able to get kids, you know, being able to talk to them, being able to encourage them, being able to, you know, set them on the right path is happening because there's such a need. Being in the education field, you see that all the time. And all they need is just, you know, encouragement, love. And,
love.
And I'm full. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, are you in the education field?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. God bless you for what you do, because I'm going to tell you what. Y'all are about the most underappreciated, underpaid, underconsidered parents, grandparents, side parents, who parents, and every other kind of parent there is.
Right.
And God bless
you
for what you do. I'm going to tell you what. People talk about us police officers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I got a taser, at least, you know. Y'all have to deal with some difficult stuff, and God bless you for what you do coming out of your pocket, and you're not going to talk about it, so I'm going to, like I said, I pay for this, I can do it. Folks don't like it, go to the Disney Channel. I know a whole lot of teachers that don't say a thing that come out of their pocket and it's not tax deductible. They're buying school buses.
Exactly.
They're giving bus tickets.
Exactly.
They're buying papers. They're buying papers. So you know what? God bless you for what you do. And I want you to know this is from me. I appreciate everything you do.
Yes, sir. And this is Keisha, right, Keisha?
Yes.
What's going on, Keisha?
Nothing, my brother. This is awesome. I got your text this morning, and I said, Lord, let me chime right on in, and I've been listening to it ever since. And I'm telling you, I am thoroughly blessed by it, and you keep doing what the Lord has, you know, allowed you to do. The Bible says that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, so you keep on allowing him to order you because, you know, you are sharpening the world, and it's a beautiful thing.
Love you. Appreciate you. My wife.
Love you guys, too.
Well, before you leave, when you pray tonight, pray that God will help me to lessen my colorful metaphors. But sometimes I'm
yes, sir. Will do. Yes, sir.
Wow. I need a curse dollar in. That'd probably be my $50 that I'm going to give, you know, Brother Darrell every month. I'll probably fill that up.
Those you guys are hilarious.
Wow.
Well, thank you, love, for calling in.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
I'm just going to say, you know, I'm going to let Brother Darrell close this out. And I'm just going to say, you know, let's not beat up the deadbeat dad. You know,
right.
Let's be conditional.
Right.
Give him this show. Don't criticize him. Just say, just click on this link. Not for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care about views and likes. But just have him listen to this. In their prime place.
Right.
At their time.
No, I completely agree with that, man. When it all boils down to it, even those that we dub as the deadbeat dads, they still can. There's still potential there. You know, some of them, want to be given another chance. Some of them just don't know how, right? Some of them, they've never been taught, and all they've been doing is just repeating the cycle that they've been.
Exactly.
Uh-oh, he dropped off. I knew that was going to happen. Anytime you get a good thing going. But we're down to the end of it anyway. But I'm going to, hopefully he's going to call back because I'm going to wait here to see his number come up. But you guys can find him at sizeofaman.org. And his website is in the show promo here. So you can find him on there. And also, at the same time, you can find him on my Facebook. You know, just look under Darrell Wayne Thomas Jr. He's there, and you'll see on my Facebook page, you'll see all of this stuff is there. If you want to find out where you can get this show, say you're listening, and you go, well, I'm not on Facebook, or I'm just listening to this from a link, you can go to stanmason.com, stanmason.com, and you can download all the shows. They're all there, every single show we've got. And like I said, it's not your grandfather's radio show, so don't judge everyone by this one because we'll light some people's asses up when it's appropriate on here. But this brother was doing a good, positive thing, and I just think he earned and deserves the right to stand up and explain what he does because Lord knows the world needs a lot more of it. And a lot of us just listening to this show today are better men just because of him, you know. And I want to give a shout-out to the Facebook Live crew, all the people on Facebook that follow me. And you guys inspire me. You send me stuff throughout the week. You keep me in tune with what's going on. You know, you put up with my rants, and you know, you keep me educated. And you call me out when I'm wrong, and give me some things I think about. I love you guys, and you know, all Darrell's information is there, and he'll post it up on my page, and we'll make sure everybody can get in touch with him because we want to emulate this. I want to shout out to Amaya Washington. That's a good brother that works with Darrell, real good brother. So, you know, we'll see you guys next week. Appreciate everybody that tuned in. Love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.